Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Texas says Bashir is taking a page out of Coach Satterfield's playbook.
Love him up, but don't touch.
And James Strebel.
That's mixed taste. Now, as soon as that's it.
5:45.
Yeah.
Love them up.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Hey, a reminder, we love our good friends at RGB Home Theaters, rgbhometheaters.com. They can price match the big box stores, they will. So if you're going to get a TV and get that hookup, they can do that. Outdoor setups, it's so nice outside right now.
Yeah.
Any of the complete home theater systems, you know, they got you covered. It's RGB Home Theaters, TVs, projectors, complete theaters, outdoor setups, security setups, and much more. Check out their website today, rgbhometheaters.com. All the info is there. Their porch Folio, you can contact them there, and they have helped us out. They got Diener set up and everything else.
Yeah, they did.
How about that?
And the den, the Diener den.
The Diener den.
I like the Diener den. I've never been there.
I've never seen the Diener den,
I'm no. sure, but, you know, I'm sure it's lovely.
I don't know. I'm sure there's a bunch of Kentucky fans on in his neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there's a bunch.
He's talked about it before.
You'd be a loved man over there.
You know, you go out
and people love it.
I need to make my way over to Owl Creek. Well, I don't even know where
it is. Let's settle down there.
Yeah.
Maybe you meet a Double Dogs or something.
Okay, that's
maybe
right.
There's an outing. Yeah.
I don't have the code to get into the neighborhood.
Settle down. Yeah, no one needs the beat up minivan bumping along.
Or the Hyundai.
The Hyundai Sonata. The 2011 Hyundai Sonata bumping along as well. Jack, are we doing music behind this again? We've been clumsy with this, it's been too soft. It's been too loud. What did we have? Indiana play four different times last week.
Yeah, something
like that.
I'm trying
to remember.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there we go.
This is pretty good.
It's good. Well, thank you. I'm glad it passes everything.
Yeah.
Well, let's get Ty Spaulding, CardinalSports.com, part of the Rivals Network, at Ty Spaulding. If you want to follow him on Twitter, Ty, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Andy. What's going on?
Oh, we're making it. Trying to get to Friday. Big game on Friday, obviously. Before we get to that game, and I want to get your thoughts on the Knights or the Golden Knights. I know they don't like to be called that. We can also get into that. The EKU matchup. Louisville not as dominant as I'm sure you and many wished they would be. What was your reaction to that? And then what was your reaction to the reaction?
The biggest thing that I kept taking away was that through two and a half quarters, Louisville had two offensive touchdowns. I can't remember exactly what the score was after the first quarter, but Louisville could not put together a drive on offense whatsoever. They ended up scoring 30 points, and six of those came off of a punt return. So my biggest takeaway was the offense not being able to run left or run right, which is obviously what Satterfield likes to do. If you can't do that well against Eastern, you're not going to be able to do that well against UCF. So for me, it was the offense not being able to do what they like to do and establish long drives.
Why do you think that is? Is it scheme? Is it bad play calling? Is it not the right players? Is it predictability? I'm sure it's all of those. But what are the one or two things that sticks out that, hey, this needs to change? Louisville's going to be on the short end of many of these games.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like taking shots at individual players, and I'm not going to do that. But I think coming into the season, everyone thought that just because all of these guys were back, that Louisville's offensive line was going to be good. And I think if we could do it over, we would hesitate with that. You know, just because you have everyone back, that doesn't mean they're going to be a good unit. Caleb Chandler talked to the media, and he kind of, in my mind, threw some players under the bus indirectly, saying if everyone can get on the same page, we're close to putting it all together. We just got to get a couple guys on the same page. So to me, I think it's more of they have a couple guys, maybe two or three, that are playing at the level they need to, but there's maybe one or two that are just not playing up to the standard that we thought they would heading into the season. I don't really think it's a scheme thing. I think it's, to be honest, I think the center position, I don't think Cole Bentley's been all that great. I think he's kind of underperforming right now. And then the tackle positions are still trying to get straightened out. The true freshman, Michael Gonzalez, has been worked in there a little bit. So I think it's just one or two guys are not clicking the way they need to right now.
Okay, so then when you say you're not sure that it's scheme, you may not think that it's scheme. What side do you come down on, the play calling, the second down and long stuff that's been talked about a lot this week?
I don't think if it's not working against Eastern Kentucky, I don't think you keep trying it against a UCF defensive line that's really, really good. Their defensive line, they have a defensive tackle that's 6'2", 315, and he's very, very good. I'll butcher his name, but it's Kalia Davis. He's very good. And then the Auburn transfer, Big Cat Bryan, is very good as well. So if it's not working against EKU, I don't think you can go into that UCF game with the same game plan. I'd like to see some quick hitters to the sideline, snap the ball and then have two guys out to one side, one guy blocking, one guy take one step back, catch the ball, get 5 yards. Some quick hitters like that, on second down versus the stretch run. So I'm very much on.
The receivers look like they could be okay. Ty, the receivers look like they could be okay. Like that, like you need to roll with them being the heroes, right? I hate to say it, but I mean, the short passing game to me is key.
I watched a ton of college football on Saturday in Tennessee. That was the first game on TV, on national TV that day. And they're not very good at all, but whenever they needed to pick up 5 or 6 yards, they would just hike the ball and throw it outside, and they'd have the first receiver block and the other receiver catch it, and you'd get 5 yards. And I don't think that's asking too much for Louisville and Sattersville to mix that in. When on second and six you're trying to make it third and manageable, I think that needs to be worked into the play calling.
UCF, you mentioned their defensive line. We know quarterback as well, Gus Malzahn, fun offense, really no opponent last week. Boise State, they struggled through that game. We're fortunate to come back, not a top 25 team, but, you beat Louisville, even though Louisville right now is not good. I would imagine UCF may slide in there in the next couple weeks or so. The spread has went down 9.5 to maybe even under a touchdown now. What do you make of this game? How do you think it will play out? Obviously, such a swing game where, if Louisville can win, it can maybe change things. If they lose, we know that anger is just going to continue.
There's a couple of things that give me reason for concern. First being the fact that UCF, similar to Ole Miss, likes to go in a hurry. And Louisville did not handle the quick-paced offense well whatsoever. There were guys looking over to the sideline as the play was being run. There were numerous occasions where only 10 guys were on the field. And that I just have nightmares of Ole Miss doing that. And UCF presumably is going to go faster than Ole Miss did. And I can see it right now. I can see the defensive line and the linebackers looking over to the sideline as the ball's being snapped, and that's not going to work. That same thing happened against Ole Miss, and I could see that happening again tomorrow. That's number one. Number two is this UCF run defense, as I mentioned, is pretty stout. I think they're top five in the country, if I'm not mistaken. And if you can't run it against EKU, I know I keep going back to that, but you're not going to be able to run it against UCF. Their defensive tackles, their defensive ends are much bigger, and they're much better. So those two things, the fast-paced offense and the UCF run defense, those are the two things that I'm very worried about heading into tomorrow night's game.
Ty, as always, appreciate the time. Have a good time out there, and we'll catch up next week, and we'll see where Louisville is then. Thanks a lot, Ty. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Andy. Thanks, James.
Kentucky.
All right, John Hale with us from the CJ at @John_Hale_CJ, following the Kentucky Wildcats, like I said, for the Courier-Journal. John, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, good. I'm good, inching towards the weekend. We love that. Kentucky fans really good. Should be an easier opponent, obviously, on the football side. And top 10 player Chris Livingston committing last night. I guess let's just quickly start in basketball. Cal seems to be back on the recruiting trail, and this is going to be maybe his greatest class ever. So, John, you get to write happy things about UK basketball recruiting the last couple years. That hasn't always been the case. What do you make of the haul that Calipari seemingly is going to have?
I mean, it's impressive. I think we talked before about the Shaedon Sharpe commitment was interesting because I think they were always going to land Shaedon Sharpe even before they blew up the staff and even before they had the NIL stuff, because he was just seemed like a Kentucky guy. They had that Shea Alexander connection there. But Chris Livingston's a little different. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, at the beginning of the summer, back in the spring, everybody thought was going to go straight to the professional level. So I think this is really the first example of what NIL can do for Kentucky in terms of keeping more of those guys we'd seen go to the G League or go overseas or whatever in college basketball. And Kentucky's not going to get all of them by any means. We know they lost Jalen Duren to Memphis already, but they're going to get their fair share. And so I think that's my main takeaway from the Livingston commitment in particular. And then assuming that the rest of this plays out the way that we think it's going to, over the next weeks and months, it's going to be right up there with Cal's best class ever. I mean, then we have to go out and actually see them play. It's important to remember that P.J. Boston and Terrence Clark were both top 10 recruits a year ago, and it obviously didn't turn out any way that they hoped to. So there's a difference between ranked high and then actually winning games. They've got to do that second part, too.
And by the way, in Streeble, we haven't even talked about this today. They're all in town for Cason Wallace. Everybody is.
Yeah.
Kentucky's there, and so is your boy Chris Beard.
Oh, yeah. Rick Barnes there, too?
I think Rick Barnes
they're
is
heavy,
there.
They're heavily involved with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I mean, Cason Wallace. They're going to get Cason Wallace, right, John? I mean, that's what everyone thinks.
Yeah, Barnes and Beard need to.
Yeah, I mean, all the people who follow recruiting way closer than I do, all the national people, say it's basically a done deal. So, I mean, it's interesting that those other coaches are obviously still making an effort. You never know until it's finished, but all those people seem to think it's done for Kentucky.
UK-Missouri, before we get to this weekend, let's go back with John Hale. UK-Missouri, obviously, you've written about it, talked about it so much. What do you think we learned Saturday from Kentucky? Dominated much of the game, but it's still a very close game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we learned that they're the third team in the East right now. How big the gap is between them and Florida and Georgia is still, I think, out, you know, to be determined. We don't know a ton about Missouri at the moment. Obviously, they beat Central Michigan maybe closer than expected in week one. We've seen Kentucky struggle in that opening game plenty of times and turn out to be better than we thought. So I don't know that changes my perception of Missouri very much either way, but I want to see them against other SEC teams before I make too many conclusions about what that win means for Kentucky. But I think it's fair to say right now they're the third team in the East, and we know that they can still run the ball when they need to when they're playing a bad run defense. They proved that. We know that the quarterback is way more talented than anybody they've had at quarterback in several years. You know, the defense has got some questions, I think. There's some depth issues there they're going to have to figure out, and maybe this weekend gives them an opportunity to do that. But it's hard to nitpick too much through two games as long as you assume that Chris Rodriguez is going to start holding onto the ball when he crosses the goal line.
I mean, would the nitpick be, and again, these are big things, them turning the ball over and then also not creating turnovers themselves, and I would couple with that not getting the pressure on the quarterback, even though it was a quick passing game last week, not getting pressure on the quarterback like, quite frankly, I'm sure Mark Stoops wants to.
Yeah, I mean, I think the forcing turnovers part of it will kind of work its way out over the course of the season. I mean, that stat last year when they were so good in turnover margin was kind of artificially inflated by that Tennessee game where they had six interceptions or whatever. That'll give you a nice cushion for a while.
Right.
Just like this year, their pass rush numbers are going to be artificially inflated because they had 14 tackles for loss against Louisiana Monroe, and we all know that's still a question mark for them. I think they'll force turnovers okay as the season goes on in terms of making them and giving them up themselves. That's an issue they've got to fix. And, you know, I assume that Chris Rodriguez is going to figure out how to run through the end zone without getting rid of, you know, dropping the ball. That one doesn't bother me a ton. The Will Levis interception thing, I think he's just going to throw some interceptions. That's going to happen this year, given how hard he throws. And if the pass is not right on the money, if he's behind guys like we've seen on that same play 2 weeks in a row, it's going to be hard for him to catch it. And those balls are going to get tipped in the air and they're going to float around. he's occasionally going to make some bad decisions just because all quarterbacks do. I think the interceptions are going to be there, but they've got to do enough other things to just make up for it, I think.
Last one from last week. Would you have kicked that field goal at the end of the game or gone for it?
I would have kicked it. I think you're close enough to where you're in his range. Miles Butler's, Matt Ruffalo. I got my Kentucky walk-on kickers mixed up there for a second. But
it's okay.
I think you're in Matt Ruffalo's range. You assume that most of the time your All-American right tackle is going to be able to block the guy and not let him just walk into the backfield before the dude kicks it. I understand the argument that they couldn't really be stopped in the run game all day. You can go for it and move it on there, but if you do get stopped in that situation somehow and they march down and tie the game, I think there's fair criticism to be made of Stoops being too conservative at the time, but I just can't come up with much reason to be upset about that one.
I think Stoops wanted to go for it. I'm a go for it guy. Keep the 5'9", buck 65 guy. And I know that it's the same offensive line. Keep them on the field. Run the ball with C-Rod. You got Levis and the big blue wall, but it is what it is. They got the win, and they move on and obviously third in the East. What is there to watch for this weekend? I'm sure it's probably some of the stuff we talked about, but anything that you're going to be watching for? Obviously a tune-up for another SEC game in South Carolina. Kentucky should be 4-0 going into this Florida game.
Well, I mean, I think the number one thing is whether or not fans can actually watch it, because the game is not on television. It's just on streaming services, and I'm sure we're going to get lots of tweets and questions on Saturday where the game's at.
John, can I pause you for a second? Strebel next to me, James Strebel, ridiculed Louisville fans and mocked them that their game against Eastern Kentucky wasn't going to be on. And then the very next week, Chattanooga, every ma and pa all over the state is not going to have any idea how to find this game. And poor John Hale's going to have to answer their damn emails.
I'm sorry, John.
I jinxed you, John. You jinxed the entire thing. But, yes, we'll all be watching the game on our streaming devices.
Yes.
Yeah, the good news is I don't think many people were probably going to be looking for Kentucky-Chattanooga at noon to begin with. Hopefully people have better things to do with their lives if the game's over by halftime like we all expect.
It should be.
But, I mean, the ESPN contract with the new deal with the SEC says they can do this for one non-conference football game and two non-conference basketball games per team per year. And so let's wait to see what happens in basketball if people freak out about it then. So that's
they're going
to.
They should be conditioned a little bit. I mean, they've had some streaming games. I mean, Louisville's had more, I guess. I don't know. Anytime Kentucky's on a basketball, they want to put them on the SEC network so somebody watches.
Right.
That's what happens there. The Josh Ali story came out yesterday. I mean, I guess just an open question. What do you think of it? Kentucky sent one sentence. Big deal. Another issue with Stoops and behavior off the field. What do you make of it? Anything?
I mean, I think it's a story to monitor. That's been our approach on it for several weeks since we found out first about it. We haven't written anything about it because, it, in terms of what we know so far, it doesn't meet the standard for our company's kind of renovated or adjusted crime reporting policy. But that doesn't mean you don't monitor it. That doesn't mean you don't, look into it to see if there's more there, that there could be more details that come out that change the perception of that. It's certainly not a good thing to happen, obviously, with everything else going on in the program. But given the details we know now, I think it's probably a leap to tie this in with the burglary stuff and the party and the coach's arrest this summer and say that there's that it's part of a growing theme or concerns. That doesn't. I think Stoops does have concerns about those things. I just don't think that this specific case, as far as we know right now, what the details plays into that.
John Hale from the Courier at @JohnHale_CJ. John, always appreciate the time. I guess have fun at the game, safe travels, and we'll talk with you next week. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Indiana.
All right, Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star at Zach Osterman. Grossman, I want to get you in here on this interview because you're going to be up there.
Yeah,
Zach damn
Grossman's,
right.
He's going to be up there for this game. Let's just start there. How big of a game is this for Indiana? Seemingly kind of similar to Louisville here, Zach, that, Louisville can get their season back on track with a win Friday night against Central Florida and a much better opponent, obviously, in Cincinnati. Indiana wants to get their season back. This is a big one in Bloomington on Saturday.
No, it undeniably is. And I think you're right in the sense that, a win would kind of maybe reframe the beginning of Indiana's season a little bit here. A loss wouldn't necessarily end it, but I think it would, even just from a logistical perspective of who Indiana can and can't beat. A loss, I think, would probably also maybe recalibrate expectations and ambitions a little bit, at least externally. And I'm not going to speak for Tom Allen and his players, but it's obviously going to be a very difficult game. I think it's a game that it interests me because I think we are making some assumptions about Cincinnati that either are going to be perhaps reinforced on Saturday, or we might find out we're a little bit premature. But one way or the other, it is a game that in a variety of ways, in terms of record, in terms of kind of the direction of where Indiana is going on the field this season specifically, and then, frankly, a little bit in terms of, you know, fan interest.
Sure. Sure.
You know, I think that's going to play a really big part in it as well.
I want to get into the game itself, but let's just go back before we go forwards. What did you learn from Indiana? Was there much at all to learn beating Idaho in the Fighting Paul Petrinos 56-14? Michael Penix Jr. didn't have to do much of anything in the game. So I guess any update on him, any worries about him moving into this Cincinnati game, and what, if anything, did you learn from Idaho?
You know, obviously, I think probably the one thing that could have happened in that game that would have felt made IU fans feel sort of better was if Penix had been a little bit more prolific. But even if he'd thrown for, you know, 250 and three touchdowns, I think a lot of us would be sitting here saying, well, he looked better, but it is still Idaho. I think personally, the one real positive, if I was an IU fan, I would take out of that game was kind of the comprehensive nature of it. Two special teams touchdowns. You know, a really dominant defensive display. Idaho didn't even have a first down until their last drive of the first quarter. Only scored two touchdowns the entire night. Indiana forced two or three turnovers. You know, just really kind of bottled up Idaho running the ball. Not necessarily really Idaho. I don't think Idaho broke 300 total yards of offense. And I guess my point is that I've seen Indiana teams that went to bowl games that still needed a failed two-point conversion to beat Southern Illinois at home. I saw a great Indiana offense score 73 on Indiana State, but also allow 35. And when you play these FCS teams, it can be really tempting to just sort of wave everything about the results away. But if I look back at, frankly, some of those games, that Southern Illinois game, that team went to the Pinstripe Bowl, but it also had literally, statistically, one of the worst defenses in all the FBS that year. And that game was kind of a harbinger of what was to come. I think if you are Indiana, I think at very least you should be allowed to look at that Idaho game and say, this is a team that is good enough that it can face another college football team, another Division I football team of any stripe, and basically just dominate them in all three phases and just be better than them in all three phases. And so when you say, well, Michael Penix only threw for 68 yards, it's like, well, he didn't have to do a lot, like you said.
Right.
It's running the ball a lot. They were clearly protecting their game plan a lot. They weren't putting anything on film they didn't want to. They had, again, two special teams touchdowns, I think three more short field touchdowns. So that gets you 35 of their 56 points right there. And it's easy to kind of wave those sorts of numbers away, and you don't want to put too much stock in them, but it is worth saying when you are that dominant against anybody else from Division I, that's a level of depth, frankly, as much as anything else in all phases. It is Indiana's it's uncommon for this place, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I think if nothing else, dusting yourself off after Iowa with that kind of comprehensive performance, I think Indiana can feel good about it.
Is it the Indiana defense versus Desmond Ritter? Is that the matchup you're watching the most? And if not, how do you think these two teams match up on Saturday?
No, I think it is kind of a QB versus defense game on both sides. And that's not to say it will be purely that. But if I'm Indiana, I'm wondering how much sharper can Michael Penix be? Can he be more comfortable? Can we get him some, a little bit better rhythm, a little bit better timing than he's had these first 2 weeks? Because we know, if I'm Indiana, I'm saying we know they're really good defensively. They're really disruptive defensively in some ways. Probably actually not terribly different in terms of philosophy from what Indiana's trying to do, even if they maybe go about it in a different way. And if I'm Cincinnati, I'm saying we've got a quarterback we really believe in here, but he hasn't seen a defense like this. And, you know, that defense that Indiana is going to bring on Saturday forces a lot of turnovers, plays in the backfield a lot. It's probably better than it was a season ago, certainly along the defensive line. It looks like it's going to be healthier in the secondary. I think Jalen Williams is going to be back at corner. It sounds like there's even a chance Devon Matthews, who Indiana, I think, at one time probably feared, reading between the lines, could be out for a very long time. Hmm. He may even be back at safety, which would be a big add. And then, so if I'm Cincinnati, I'm thinking we believe in our quarterback, but we haven't seen him play a defense of this caliber since Georgia. And by the way, the defensive coordinator in Indiana was on the defensive staff at Georgia that got ready for Desmond Ridder in that Peach Bowl. So it's simplistic to say, but I think it's probably truer now than even in most games Indiana's going to play this season. This is a quarterback versus defense kind of game on both sides of the ball.
All right, last one for Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. I'm going to go basketball here, Zach, if that's okay. Male High School last night, Mike Woodson and company, the entire staff was there. Indiana wants Caleb Glenn. Louisville fans, they think they got him. Chris Mack was there the day before. This is one of the main targets for U of L, but obviously Indiana still very much in the mix. I guess from the – I know the Louisville side of this. From the Indiana side, what do you make of that recruitment?
I mean, you're right, Indiana wants him, and he's been a priority for a while. Indiana's already three deep in 2022. There's one or two more targets out there, but by and large, they've got a lot of their group in the class that's going to sign in November together already, so it's not surprising to me to see them turning their attentions even more heavily to 23. And Caleb Glenn is a guy, I mean, he visited Bloomington. As you said, they've been to see him, and not just maybe an assistant swinging in or, you know, hey, he dropped in for an afternoon on his way to visiting three schools in 2 days or something like that. I mean, Indiana has been very invested in this. They want to be a player basically as far into his recruitment as Caleb Glenn will allow. And I think you can always imagine that getting a kid away from Louisville or Kentucky or whatever you want to say out of Louisville is always going to be difficult. But Indiana, of course, is also always going to feel like it has appeal in southern Indiana, and it has appeal just kind of in that part of the geographic footprint. They want to be involved in this as far and as long as they can be allowed.
Well, Mike Woodson, that jumpsuit and that goatee was flourishing last night.
Oh, yeah.
Jack, you should have been out there at Male High School to go see the entire staff was there.
What if Jack Gross was there to close the
deal? Yeah, you could have closed the deal. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with you guys. Well, there you go. Zach, always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game on Saturday. Should be a good one. And it's noon, so you'll have, like, the day to, you know, not work maybe at night or something.
Yeah.
You can go live a life on a weekend. I don't know what's going on. Zach, always appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, thank you. Zach Osterman there, Indianapolis Star at Zach Osterman. There's two things that I'm going to bring up. What do you think one of them is, Jack? I'm seeing if Jack's paying attention.
Yeah,
are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I'm seeing if Jack's paying attention. He has no idea where we're going here.
No.
What are the two things?
One, you're asking why I didn't ask a question, and that would be because you asked it before I could.
Sorry. No, we have nothing to do. No, that's not it.
That's not it. All right.
No,
then I don't know.
Okay. Number one, Zach Osterman, who we love.
Yes, did a very good
whenever
job.
He said something to the effect of, whenever you can get a recruit from a Louisville or a Kentucky.
No.
And Strebel's face, I wish you could have seen his the face of arrogance.
It was.
The fat face of BBN arrogance. That's what it is.
It was on display. Oh, God. He said that. We both looked at each other like,
I did. I looked at you, too. Yeah, I was like,
ugh. Like, Zach, I mean, come on.
So that's
Zach.
Number one. The other thing here is, and I've noticed, in fact, you know what? Let's do that after the break. Let's do that little tease.
Okay.
I have noticed something. It has to do with Jack, but it also this show, a show topic.
Okay.
You ready for that?
I'm ready for this.
You ready for that?
A little in-house discussion.
Okay. You like that?
Let's go.
We'll do that next. 437-9680. It's a Thursday. Bozich in a half an hour.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Andy Sweeney did put up a Twitter poll. Says, does Mark Ennis have the easiest job in America?
And James Strebel.
I have the easiest job in America every day.
I think you did.
Now, obviously, that is a joke at your expense.
Yeah.
But you know what? Between scandals and you, sometimes my job is easy.
Yeah, you just kick back and relax.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You like this, Strebel?
I do like this, yeah.
You like this, don't you?
I don't know
you?
Why, but I do.
You know who this is?
This is Jack Harlow?
It's not Jack Harlow.
Oh, it's not?
It is not.
I wish it was.
It's Drake.
Oh, Drake, okay.
You like little Drake?
I like Drake. I
He's
like
a Kentucky
Drake.
Dad, La Familia.
Well, he used to be. Maybe he comes back now. Maybe now that Cal's getting
joins
on
the bandwagon again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He'll jump
you
back
know
on
what?
The bandwagon.
That's a great point. That's exactly what's
Maybe
going
Drake
to happen.
Will like Kentucky again. We'll see. We'll
Maybe
see.
He will.
I'll ask Coop.
Hey, GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts right now. Join the manufacturing team today and make up to $660 per week. Apply today. MakeItAtThePark.com. MakeItAtThePark.com. We appreciate you doing that. Quick reminder as well, NFL tonight, Giants and Washington. They're in D.C., 8 o'clock, all stations, 680, 105.7 and 93.9 The Ville. Well, Sunday, we have Rams, Colts, Raiders, Steelers, Chiefs, Ravens. So we are loaded on NFL coverage right here on ESPN Louisville.
That's great.
Well, you two knuckleheads can never – see, here's the problem.
Okay.
And I've had to – I had to teach Mitch this.
All right.
And Jack knows. And it's not you guys' fault because you don't know the tease. I keep you guys – but you guys are talking during the break about what I was going to bring up.
Oh, I didn't even
a little
that.
Bit. Well, I know
oh.
you didn't.
Oh,
so the tease
sorry.
During the break is, and now I'm going to take a run, at, a mini run at Jack. Just a
oh,
mini – well,
a mini run.
Not even a run at Jack. Jack is in a position.
Yes,
yes
he tough,
is. It is an interesting position.
Okay, so yes. you know,
I know exactly
right.
where we're going
this.
With now. Yeah.
So, by the way, Laura Rutledge on television.
She's looking great. She got a big gold chain around her neck.
She does have a big gold
she
chain
does.
Around
it's
her
a
neck.
Really big.
She really
yeah,
does. So anyway,
bigger than usual.
I'm in a good. See, I'm going. I know what you're going to pose, and you're not going to like my answer.
Oh, cool. That's fine. Yeah, understandable.
Yeah, because I'm going to be happy either way.
Okay. Well, so yeah. here is where we are.
All right.
Louisville fans are – they're cocky, right, when it comes to the recruitment of Caleb Glenn?
It's a given.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's
yeah.
a given. And so I have been operating out of the – My atmosphere has been that this is a given, that this is
sure.
in a city kid, male high school, and I haven't really followed this recruitment, but it just has felt like the last couple weeks, going to be at Louisville Live. We talked with Travis Branham from 24/7 about that yesterday.
He's been on LSL too, I think.
There you go.
Yeah.
That he's going to Louisville. Like, that
right.
is how I am operating, that I'm already thinking about, you know, this is going to be a good thing that is happening for Louisville. And the more that I paid attention to IU gas bags,
yeah.
they're like IU's all the way in here, and they're trying to get Caleb Glenn.
Like they're making
and,
a serious run.
Yeah, that I don't know if it's, and Jack could help me with this, I don't know if there's optimism. I don't know if they know how confident and cocky Louisville fans are.
I don't think they know how confident and cocky Louisville fans are, but I think they do think they have a very legit shot of getting him.
Okay.
Okay.
And see,
yeah, which is interesting to me. Yeah.
And Louisville fans don't know that. Louisville fans don't know that there is at least some level of confidence
right.
with Caleb Glenn.
For Mike Woodson company.
Yeah.
They
so,
feel like they're good with this guy,
yeah,
too.
So, but Jack is in an interesting spot.
Okay.
Because he's doing this podcast with Greer.
Yes,
so
he is.
So is he going to be,
oh.
if Caleb Glenn went to IU, I mean, Grossman would have to come out and be evil. Like, he would have to be evil.
I would have to be, yeah.
Okay.
Here's where I'm at right
now. Hang on. Let me give you the other side of it. If he goes to Louisville, I don't know what the reaction is from Jack here because he's very close to the Louisville Fire.
He
pounce on Mike Woodson immediately?
No.
Does he do a podcast where he crushes Mike Woodson?
Right.
Does he celebrate on Greer's podcast? Like, there's
like, he's good job, Louisville fans.
Yeah, he is in an interesting spot here, but the Louisville and Indiana people don't. I mean, we understand it, but they don't understand.
No.
The other side thinks they also have a great shot.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's my read
I
of the situation.
Indiana fans know Louisville is a really, really legit threat to get him, but they also don't view it as just the shoe-in that Louisville fans think it is. And Louisville fans just don't respect, you know, Indiana at all, because why would you? Based off the past few years. But where I'm at on this is – I'll be honest. I'll be happy with whichever one he goes to. But I know. I told you. Jack, I told you. I told you. You weren't gonna like my answer. However, if I had a preference, I would rather
pick
him.
Damn side.
If I had a preference, I'd rather
if
him go
I
to
had
Indiana.
A preference.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
If I had a preference,
I'll put it this way.
Go.
Wait, I'll be happy.
You guy, you're not.
I'll be happy either way. But I'll be happier if he goes to IU. How about that? Is that
no?
No, I know.
No,
Strebel's disgusted with you right now.
Either the IU guy.
You're not the IU guy.
If you're Mr. IU, who's your BB basketball
BB.
Man?
He almost
all
said BBN.
The way. I almost did. If you're the IU, who's your basketball guy? Mike Woodson's the GOAT all the way. Then you can't be if Caleb Glenn goes to Louisville. No, your guy Mike Woodson is going after him, guns blazing. He's going to his games. He's bringing the whole staff. He wants this kid bad. You can't
can
sit
name,
there.
Can you give me one assistant from IU?
Can
you?
Come
on. You know, too. I've said them both today.
Jack
both
just
of
ruined
them.
It.
I thought you were saying
Jack, why do you think I'm going to you for that? Jack,
I was wondering why you were going to me.
Jack, when I go to you on... When I pose a question about Nicki Minaj having a cousin who has a buddy who has swollen testicles, that's for you.
Yeah.
Okay? The do you know when I know you know Dane Fife and Kenya Hunter. I know you know that. Now, I don't know the other guy.
No idea. Kenny Johnson, I'm kidding.
But anyway, but I mean, like, part of it also is that Indiana doesn't need him as much as Louisville does. I mean, Indiana art.
So what? That's what you should want him even more to put Louisville in a worse spot. You're
wow,
like, we
wow,
want,
he's
we
giving Louisville
guy.
Pity there.
He is.
I don't know
why?
What I think about. Why would you say that? I mean,
Indiana
has a bunch of talent. Who does Indiana have? Trey Galloway?
Grief,
what are you saying right now? I don't like what you're saying.
Like when Calipari took Keon Brooks.
Archie,
yeah, they needed, him. Yeah,
I laughed. I said we didn't really need Keon Brooks, but guess what, Archie? Ha ha ha! Too bad.
Now you need
we
him.
We got him. Now we do need him. Yeah, now we need.
Is that Keon Brooks or is that Hakeem Olajuwon or Michael Jordan?
Yes,
he sometimes doesn't know.
I think it's Michael Jordan.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know. Yeah. Sometimes he gets mixed up. Is that Kevin Garnett out there? Is that KD? Jack, is that KD out there? No, it's Keon Brooks.
But that's what I'm saying. You need to feed mean and ugly, Jack. Don't do this patting Mac on the head and give it. Well, I'm happy for Louisville. Fans, no, be that.
What would Strebel do?
You know what I do, Jack.
Oh, no, believe I know what you would do.
I don't know if Jack has that full evil on him. It's called the Reds.
Yes.
It's called the Cardinals.
I know.
Okay? There are a few times where he'll be mean and nasty.
He needs to spread that out.
Well, like, if Indiana gets him, I'll be mean and nasty, but.
All right.
Yeah.
If
Indiana gets him, I'll be mean and nasty, but if Louisville gets him, I'm not going to be mad.
You don't need to pat Louisville on the head, Jack. Don't pat him on the head.
You need to hold Woodson to a standard.
Yes.
What a terrible thing to talk about.
Yeah, Woodson
we're 24 hours before the big game, Jack, and we're talking about Mike Woodson. Does he need to get Caleb Glenn?
I do have a question.
Go to hell, all of us. Honestly, what are we doing right now? Break down Dylan Gabriel, Sweeney. What's your problem? Is center field going to get fired?
Is that a top five defense?
Is it going to be? Is it what Jamie Caldwell from Coastal Carolina? I mean, you guys would agree. I was talking with Ennis about this.
Were you?
Firing Sat to get the Coastal Carolina coach is firing Sat just to hire Sat.
Satterfield. No, you're right. Yeah.
Sat.
You're 100% right.
I don't want that. I'd rather have Satterfield.
Yeah.
So he can finish the house so Blank can keep the plug
going. We know who Rummage
wants. Some of that?
Yeah, Rummage stuck his claim to win the mixtape today with the Jeff Rummage stuff.
Wow, so it's a three-horse race?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. Should we play them all now? Like, honestly, the point
man,
is
there's
play
10
now?
Different clips.
Well, there's 10 clips.
So, 10?
On him wanting Jeff Brom. 10
yes, there
rummages.
Is.
10 Rummages.
Oh, my gosh.
10 Rummages on. Do you want a couple of these now?
Get a little taste.
You want a taste
wet,
now?
Wet our beaks.
You want to wet the whistle, Jack?
Yeah, wet the whistle.
All right, wet the whistle.
Let me just say, I believe Brom knows what it would take. I believe the people around him know what it would take. Mm-hmm. I believe when you get a guy who loves this city and loves this university more and is looking at a long-term thing, let me just say,
Rummage
I believe
100%.
Right,
he's turning me on.
He would make it work.
Ooh.
He's turning me on. I agree with him. I agree with Rummage.
What happens? Because you're in the studio.
I don't know what happened, but I agreed with him. I agree.
I'm going to be out there Friday. Look, I'm pumped.
He wasn't going.
I'm ready. I want him to win. I want him to turn it around. You know, I mean, look, I would love if they turn it around, go win 4 or 5 games, but I would also love, you know, Jeff and Brian and Stephon, whoever else that they wanted to get, Mike, good defensive coordinator.
Greg Brum.
Oh, Greg would be here. Yeah. But.
Wait, is that the end?
Jack, you want that sound? Jack.
Jack sneaking in
Greg Brum.
To Maven and Rummage with a Greg Brum at 10:45 in the morning.
That was great. He just punched it. Greg Brum.
Recruiting-wise, Jeff Brom's probably the one coach, the one and only coach that could go out into the state and recruit. Now, I'm not saying he could get them all, but I do think he could go out into the state and recruit.
Can he put a fence around Louisville?
Yes.
I like that.
Oh, put a fence around Louisville.
There's part of me that might agree with that.
What happens here? Here's my question, because Rummage is on a side here, and there's no mistake which side Rummage is on. What happens when you got in the 93.9 studios, you got Blankenbaker coming one way, and you got Steve Rummage coming the other way?
I don't know. It's
and
a good question.
And they pass each other. Is that an awkward conversation?
I have no idea.
Because
I don't know.
Blankenbaker's like, moral victory, we're fine. That's good, even if we lose by 6 points on Friday.
Right.
Rummage is like, no, I want Brum.
Rummage is ready.
Like,
he's
ready.
He's like, I'm giving you 20 minutes on Jeff Brum right
Jeff
now.
Brum.
Like, every day.
I mean, I'm not saying Kentucky still couldn't come in or an out. There's some kids in the city of Louisville. The kid that graduated from Trinity a couple years ago. I think Brum would have got him if Brum was here. But here's the thing. Brum wasn't here. He was hell-bent on, I'm going to Stanford. That's his dream. You can't stop that. Yep. There's nothing I can do about that. Some kids are going to go to Kentucky. Kentucky's going to be able to come in and get one kid, you know, if you build that fence. That's fine. He does all that.
Man, he's like, he might skip Louisville tomorrow and go watch Purdue Notre Dame.
If Jeff Brum's like here right now, o'clock? Wandale Robinson's on this team. Rondell Moore's on this team. Would have been over the past 3 years. Yeah, Rondell's probably gone. But, yeah. Milton Wright's on this team. J.J. Weaver plays for Louisville. Jerry Casey's playing for Louisville. Like, a lot of these schools, he would build a fence around the city of Louisville.
Wandale's wasn't in Louisville.
I agree with Milton Wright. Was that his name?
Maybe J.J. Weaver.
J.J. Weaver. And who's the other one?
Rondell Moore.
Rondell.
I was hoping you would battle him on that one, Shreve.
No.
Battle him on Wandell Robinson.
Well, Wandell didn't want you the first time around.
No.
So.
Well, you know what? He's back.
So
he's,
would he have wanted better. Scott Frost in Nebraska or Jeff Brum in Louisville? No. I mean, you never would have Wandell.
No,
that's
he would have had Wandell one way or the other. He wouldn't want. He would not.
The old Jeff Brum show.
In Louisville.
September 16th.
I mean,
Jack,
it's back.
A little Jeff Brum on a Thursday.
It gives me a flashback of standing
right,
on
that's
top
enough
of
Jeff
the
Brum
caboose
sound today.
With Ugh. Ennis and Diener comes in, takes my headset, and Ennis and Diener do like 10 minutes on Jeff Brum. You remember that?
What happened now? I wasn't listening. I was reading the text line.
So
what happened?
It was the Louisville versus Kentucky pregame show. I'm staying on top of the caboose with Ennis.
Okay. Louisville versus Kentucky pregame show.
Diener makes his way up to the top. He's like, I got this segment. I said, yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Yes, he moved you out of the way.
He shoved me.
He shoved you out of the way.
He took the headset off
your head.
And put it on his head.
And put it on his head.
I'm talking Jeff Brum. Take a seat, big guy. I said, yes,
really?
Sir.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got a little flashback.
There is one more sound that
we've got
to play.
Let's keep him for next week or later on.
Yeah.
All right. I've got the entire 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, because he does have a really big haymaker.
All right.
Okay. Well, there we go. We'll have to wait.
Give me the process, and before you play this, Jack, do you know who the player is? The process mispronounced his name today. Do you know? I mean, this is not like a, you know, it's a player 25 years ago. Do you have any idea?
Yeah, he won the Heisman at Colorado, right?
Yeah, he won the Heisman.
Oh, okay. I know what we're talking about here.
Who am I talking about?
Cordell Stewart?
No.
No.
Rashawn Salaam.
Oh, I remember Rashawn Salaam.
And
yes.
I am stunned the process didn't know who that was.
Wow.
And he said it wrong, and Issalem Pratt didn't correct him, which broke my heart. Go ahead, Jack.
Oh, no. By the way, it's Rashawn Salaam. The Heisman winner from Colorado.
Yes.
There you go.
Was he a running back or quarterback?
Yes. No, he was running back.
Yeah. Okay.
Salaam?
By the way, it's Rashawn Salaaam.
Salaaam?
Like, should I know who that is? I'm like, no one else around here. I can understand you not knowing that, but not you.
Yeah.
You're the NFL guy. You're the football guy.
That's his brand. Oh. Process the football man. How many years ago was that? I mean, he is, like 23, 24? But like you said, he's the NFL guy. He's supposed to know everything NFL. And Issalem Pratt should know.
Texas says Brahm at Louisville would equal Frost in Nebraska.
By the way, it's Rashawn Salaaam.
Salaaam.
Texas says Louisville media embarrassed themselves with Brahm guarantees.
There was a lot of that. He got money. He got paid. Well, like you said, enough Jeff Brahm. We can't do
Texas
that.
Texas says Rummage only shows up when things are great. Texter says, can we hear Brahm cry real quick? Jack, have you ever heard that?
Oh, yeah, I've heard it. I got to find it real quick.
Okay,
he made him cry, man. It was great. It was great radio.
Yes, you can hear Brahm cry real quick. Hang on.
Yeah, well, Jack will hook you up.
Let's see. Texter says, Diener cut a caller off today. Can you play that? Yes, we will play all of these things.
Oh, he did? Oh, man.
He did. I can't do the Jeff Brahm thing.
It's too early.
Andy,
it's a third game of the season.
I want to be clear. I want to.
Yeah.
But I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like, you know, if you start out when you're like a fat kid and you have to run the mile at gym class.
Oh, yeah.
And you start out sprinting because you're like, they think that I'm the fat kid. I'm the slow kid. So I'm going to start. I'm going to bust out of the gates and be somewhat impressive, and then you're winded after however many seconds, feet, whatever.
Then
you're absolutely winded. You're spent. You got nothing left. That's how I feel about the Jeff Brahm discussion.
Because
I don't think Louisville's going to win on Friday.
No.
If I thought they were going to win on Friday, I'm like, okay. Even if they do win on Friday, Rummage was being – like, you guys missed the point. He's like, even if we come back and win 4 and 5 games.
He's not
– like, he's giving you the ceiling, and the ceiling ain't going to a bowl game. And, I mean – and no, I got to be honest. No one cares about a 6-6 crap bowl game.
No.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Oh. I feel like I need the context there.
Oh, man.
I mean, I need the question. That's Diener's moment.
Was Diener sad there? Yeah.
I think that's Diener's moment on radio.
Like, that was his...
He asked the question. He gets the cry.
Wow.
There's a dramatic pause. He lets it breathe. He doesn't talk over it.
And he just lets it happen organically.
I think it's perfect.
And it's Diener's. That was Diener's crowning achievement on radio. I could see that.
I'm saying it's one of them.
It's up there. It would have been Bob Baffert if, you know, things hadn't gone haywire.
Texas says if UK wins 9-10 games while U of L wins 4 or 5, they're all going to lose it.
They'll pivot to something else to crush Kentucky on. I mean,
I've been listening to you guys, and I'm just absolutely amazed that you guys are not going to give this guy an opportunity to turn this football program around.
You haven't been listening very closely.
Don't put words in my mouth.
I'm saying that's where the fans are. I'm not saying that's right. I'm saying that's where the fans are.
Y'all are saying if he doesn't win, he needs to go. You know, if he doesn't win for
goodbye. Done. No. Now, don't come on. Put words in our mouth that we did not say.
I hate being
I don't understand. You can't reason with a terrorist like that.
You can't reason.
Well, that's not Jeff Brahm, though.
There's not a
full one.
I don't. That's the only one that Jeff Brahm cries.
Smells of Cooper Hasan.
That he deleted
that?
Yeah,
that smells of Cooper Hasan.
Why would he delete that? It was a great moment. Like you said, Diener probably wants to keep that in his back pocket. I mean, this is a great radio moment for him. And that caller, you know what? Actually, back Diener on that. Running that caller. Because he's sitting next to Mark Blankenbaker, who's waxing poetic about moral victories for Scott Satterfield. Like, that caller was way off base. Diener's right. He wasn't listening. I mean, Blankenbaker's like, if we lose by 4, it's all good.
There's also just a few people calling for his job straight up. We haven't. No, I haven't.
No, I think.
I mean, it's trending, and if Friday happens the way, you know, 31-17, we know it's trending, but even you haven't done
no,
that.
No, I haven't.
Drew hasn't done that.
I think
it's only a few people. I mean, I think there's a lot of fans who are like, yo,
fans.
This is. Yes. No,
yes,
I mean, I think
fans.
Even deep down, I mean, listen, do I think Satterfield right now, if you told me, is he going to work out? No. And I wasn't too keen on it in the first place.
Right.
And that's not a Jeff Brohm or a Satterfield thing. And I mean, it was very much of a gamble. The thing that the reason in the first couple years and even the first year was I thought he had a fine staff.
Sure.
I mean, Ledford got a lot of love. Ponce got a lot of love
right.
moving up. Satterfield himself got a lot of love.
Right.
Brian Brown got a lot of love. I mean, every time they would do a list of guys under 30 or 35 or however old Brian
that
Brown is,
was on it.
He was, I mean, their staff by national people,
sure.
him getting the job was sold so hard that it became like a preseason analysis where, like, you automatically soak it up
right.
to some extent. We're like, okay,
yeah,
like this shouldn't
this.
Be a bad product. And then 8 wins after Bobby, you're like, okay, it's just I haven't been in love with the recruiting. I mean, there's some other things. I mean, obviously the quarterback. I mean, whatever.
There's a lot quarterbacks you go down
there, and some of it's very recent. So, am I predicting anything other than hey, this is kind of going downhill here?
Sure.
Oh no, I told you yesterday. I've been clear. I think 4 or 5 wins, he's going to keep his job.
Right.
Okay? Especially 5. I even think 4, if there are some close games and there's not quit. I just think Satterfield's going to have to do what Chris Mack did, what John Calipari did, and what Mark Stoops did, bringing in Liam Cohen and getting rid of his friend Eddie Grannon. That is, he's going to have to change his staff. He's going to have to change something, maybe with the quarterback. You know, add someone to the offensive staff.
Right.
We'll see what happens with Brian Brown. No, I think he's going to have to make moves to keep his job for another year. That's my read, an uneducated one at that. But that I've been clear. That's kind of my conversation.
Yeah, but I know what like people on.
We're
radio,
in no man's land right now.
We
you
are
understand,
in no
you understand
man's
that?
Land,
you can't back what's going on.
You can't.
But you're to the point to where even if you think it's going to end poorly, you're not firing Scott Satterfield.
I think there's a pretty
for
decent,
most people.
I'd like to know
I'm saying most people in the media.
Okay,
I want to be
okay.
clear.
I
want to say most
See,
people most people on radio and that
right.
sort of thing.
I think we're on two different wavelengths.
Right.
I think you're talking
no, fans,
about media.
Fans can say fire him.
Yeah.
Like, I would
yes.
fist fight Jason Garrett. I've been very clear
okay.
with that.
Yes,
I would
yes.
fist fight Jason Garrett.
I would say, I think the media perspective, yeah, you're right. There hasn't been a lot of calling of firing Satterfield. But on the fan side of it, just like seeing things on Twitter and then, you know, message boards and all, you know, hearing callers into the post-game show, pre-game show, Diener's show, Innocent show, all the shows are all like, we're done, move on, we need to cut bait and go now. I think Rummage, as a fan, sympathizes with the fan more than he does the media.
Oh, I get
sense.
It. Well, you should.
Yeah.
Who wants to see, who wants to do the media?
Right. Like Rummage's on the side of the fan.
Yo, I'm
he's a
you.
Common
who,
man.
Only
he's
Jack,
the man of the
only Jack Grossman and Patty Ice want to go watch the game from the press box.
Right. Everyone's
maybe occasionally, maybe a little Mark Ennis.
Yeah, I can see
a little Blank.
I think Blank especially. He likes schmoozing up there.
I mean, that's the worst place to watch.
Oh, no,
a game.
I've watched.
Ence wants to be there occasionally.
Oh, no, he wants to be there. Yeah,
Ence wants to be there.
Oh, yeah, more than occasionally.
He wants to brag about getting Keith Farmer's number is what he wants to do as well.
I'm trying to think, do I have Keith Farmer's number? I rode in an elevator with Keith. I was standing between Keith Farmer and Tim Sullivan.
Oh, wow. What a dynamic.
Yeah, how about
totally
that?
Different people.
Yeah,
I mean,
how about
completely
that?
Completely polar opposite people.
How about that?
Yeah, Keith Farmer forgot who I was, so that's, you know, that happens, you know.
Texas says Diener's best moment was not the Brohm interview, it was when he moderated the single best horse racing interview ever.
Was that with
that was also his worst moment. Oh, is that the one that got erased?
Yeah.
With Worldwide?
Yeah, that was one that I was referring to earlier. It's like that probably would have been a shining achievement, but you know.
Texas says, Andy, you're a bleep. You won't fight anyone. No, you're right. Only Jason Garrett. Listen, I'm with that, Texter. I am. I'm also a grown-up. That's why I'm not fighting anybody.
Right. But if there's one person.
But if there was one person, it would be Jason Garrett.
They're, look, they're,
don't. Just, yeah, threat Thursday
they're
night at, football.
They're prepping you for
the
game.
No one wants
to
prep.
I see Daniel Jones' face.
No one wants to prep for this game. It's the bottom of the NFL. I swear to you, people, do not text me. Anybody's of mine listening.
Text
don't
you.
Text me how bad they are. Yes, it's bad. It's bad.
I never text you about the Giants.
Giants football, it's bad. It's not the Chiefs.
I don't think I've ever sent you one Giants.
Although text. Daniel Jones is faster than Lamar Jackson.
He is. They clocked it. I saw on TV.
Rick Bozich next.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.